For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Maxeal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. And the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce, Detroit basketball.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike King Milano. Join me this week is Jasper Apollonia. Jasper, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing better than the Pistons are, so I can't be doing that badly. But no, I'm doing great, Mike. It's wonderful to be on with you today. We, as always, have a lot to talk about, and I'm just excited to get into it, man. Let's do it.
We certainly do. We have a lot to talk about. I haven't been on the podcast in a couple of weeks. I got to see all the Palace of Pistons crew up in Detroit as the Cavs narrowly avoided what would surely be a disaster in losing to the Pistons, but also met Craig Monroe at a bar. So that was pretty interesting. Jasper, I don't know if you know this story, but you may have seen it in the group chat. Wild. So I have not been on since that, which was all the way back on the 2nd. But we have a lot to talk about Pistons-wise. We're going to talk about Jalen Duren's injury. We're going to talk about the rotations. We're going to talk about Monty Williams learning how basketball works with shooters. We're going to talk about a conspiracy theory that you have that I think actually has some legs to it. So we're going to go ahead and get started. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is BetOnline. All the major sports are in action this week with the college football playoffs ready to kick off. One of my favorite seasons is bowl season. I can't wait for the Pop-Tart Bowl or the Kraft Macaroni and Cheese Bowl. Seeing Iowa play TCU or something at Yankee Stadium. It's just a wonderful time to eat away my work days. We'll probably do some betting, and I will certainly be using BetOnline. And I do that because BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info, including news for pro football, the NBA, upcoming fights, and NHL games this season. So head on over to the website today. Get into the action. We'll see all the updated odds for the week. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. And that promo code is BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Ooh, I can't wait to see my beloved Syracuse Orange in the Boca Raton Bowl down in Florida. I'm unfortunately going to be missing that one as well. I couldn't make it to the Pistons night with the rest of the Palace of Pistons crew either. Craig Monroe, that's great. We had two home run hitters in attendance, both him and Aaron Johnson.
So oh, yeah. Well, that is awesome.
I knew you'd like that one, Mike.
That's so good. not sure who hit it farther, but That is awesome. We were having so much fun at Tin Roof. Getting shots from Craig Monroe. He bought us Fireball.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes. I'm really serious.
I'm really glad I didn't make it, because me and Fireball have a history reaching back to Syracuse that, let's just say, it's almost as a tumultuous relationship as my fandom with the Pistons this year. Let's just say we've had our ups and downs.
Yeah, I think every college student has a run-in with Fireball, and I smelled it, and I thought, am I 19, allegedly?
Well, you were at Tin Roof, so.
Yes. A lot of fun. Yeah, he was having a lot of fun. Let's just put it that way. And Aaron was certainly hitting dingers. But that's for a story for maybe when Aaron is here so that he can tell it himself. We did pretty good play-by-play, though, in the group chat. But let's go ahead and talk about the lovely Detroit Pistons, who are still on a losing streak. The lovely people at BetOnline, of course, the sponsors of this show, posted about an over-under for the Pistons losing streak at 24 and a half games. The fact that we're talking about this is, you know, slightly concerning, to say the least. Jasper, are you taking the over, or are you taking the under on 24 and a half losses in a row for the Pistons?
Well, let's just look at the schedule. Because
that's what I'm doing right now.
The Pistons' next two games are against the 76ers. Those are both losses. They then face the Bucks, and they are at 20 games right now. That's 23. After that, they have the Hawks, the Jazz, and then the Nets back to back before they play the Boston Celtics. Now, look, if we're being honest with ourselves, they are not going to be favored in any of those games. I think we can automatically say this losing streak is going to go to 23 games. It's the Hawks and Jazz games that get a little interesting to me. And I think if I'm the folks at BetOnline, I think the Hawks game's probably a loss. The Jazz is the one that is the most winnable game they have coming up. I'm going to say it. I'm really backing myself into the corner. I think they win one of those games. I think they beat one of the Hawks or the Jazz. And if they don't, I do think that they beat the Nets. The real question, though, becomes if they do lose to the Hawks and Jazz, can they beat the Nets to avoid setting the single season losing streak record, which is 26 games against the Nets? It's a home game. It's going to be tough. I do think they can win one of those three games. I don't know if they will beat 24 and a half. I do think that they are going to get a win, though, to avoid setting the single season mark. And I think the folks at BetOnline have that down, too. That's where I'm at. I do think they are going to win one of those three games.
Yeah,
I don't know where you're at, Mike. I wouldn't, you know, that being said, like, could I fault anybody that bets against them every single game the rest of the way? Like, bets against the money line the rest of the way? I can't.
No. And you're right in that Atlanta and Utah are the most vulnerable right off the bat. And I really don't think that Brooklyn is very good either. That Hawks game is an away game. The Jazz at home on the 21st. I'm trying to see the Jazz schedule to see if they have if that's a back-to-back for them. I mean, either way, Utah is kind of in a weird funk. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. They were kind of good last year, but they didn't really know why. John Collins is hurt. I think it's definitely possible that they beat the Jazz and stop the losing streak rather right then and there. That'd be what, 25?
That'd be 24.
24. That's a close one. I might take the under. I have a little bit of confidence in being able to beat Utah at home, mostly because I think the Pistons are starting to play I don't want to say better, but you know, it was hard to be playing worse. That Memphis Grizzlies loss, I really thought that was going to be the win. And then I thought after the banged up Orlando Magic were coming into town, I thought, oh, here's the win. Nope, didn't happen. But I think they are playing. I mean, they definitely played better last night against Indiana. Overall, I was rewatching parts of that game. You know, Benedict Mathurin just kind of went off, which stings a little bit more because he's a wing that the Pistons could definitely use right now. But I thought they did a pretty good job on Tyrese Halliburton. They kind of did what the Lakers did in the in-season tournament. They, you know, they double teamed him. They forced him to make decisions quickly. And, you know, while he is an excellent decision maker, and he did hurt them with assists, I think you're willing to take that gamble just because of the supporting cast around him. So, you know, I think they're playing okay basketball. Certainly a little bit more competitive than some of those other games. I really thought they were going to beat the Cavs. But let's talk about some of the nuances of the roster right now, starting with Jalen Duren, who has dealt with an ankle injury for most of this season. I don't know if he came back necessarily early, but I will say that, you know, the first three quarters against the Cavs, sitting there in person, I thought, oh, he looks fine. He was getting up and down the floor. He was on the receiving end of alley-oops. I thought he played pretty well. He called George Niang a bitch. seemed like everything was going okay, and then he re-injured that ankle. It looked like he was a little hobbly in the fourth quarter. But Jalen Duren, he is hurt, unfortunately, again. I think they say he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Let me go ahead and pull up the actual press release.
It was 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks.
And I think for me, looking at it, like you said, I'm not sure if they brought him back too soon. I certainly think they have. Aaron and I have talked about it on the podcast in the last couple of weeks. He just has not had that kind of explosiveness that you're looking for him. It's, and I don't mean like, obviously, the guy can still dunk, he can still run. However, I think laterally, and that's really where you've seen it. You even saw it last year when he was struggling with ankle injuries. His lateral quickness has definitely been an issue. And it's been a big reason why, not just because that's how Monty Williams plays defense. They've been playing so much drop coverage with him. You've been seeing him fall off in terms of those weak side blocks. I just don't think he has that quick twitch explosiveness laterally, especially. And for me, like you said, 2 weeks, but I really, really, Mike, we've discussed it on this podcast for a long time. The ankle thing is a real thing with Jalen Duren. Real thing. Like, we are now in season two of him struggling with these, not just having one, but like reoccurrences of these ankle injuries and them really having a detrimental effect on his ability to play defense, which is the number one reason why you have Jalen Duren in there, even, you know, more so than his ability to pass a little bit. And of course, you know, play pick and roll with Cade Cunningham. I just think that, like, it's an issue right now, and they need to hold him out until he is fully healthy. I know you want to win games, but at this point, the season's already over. Let's not kid ourselves. You need to make sure Jalen Duren's ankles are healthy and that you're setting him up for success, not just for the rest of this year, but moving forward as well.
Yeah, I mean, bigs with foot problems, it's not new. It's not uncommon. He had an ankle problem last year, like you already said. And what are you really gaining by playing him out there? You already know, based on his time on the court, that he is your starting center of the future. I don't think you're necessarily gaining anything other than, you know, he gets to play with the other probable starters alongside him and build up that chemistry. But other than that, you're not going to like have your season derailed by not having Jalen Duren out there or even having him out there. You need him to be healthy for the long run. He's only 20 years old. I guess it gives the Pistons some time to showcase their other two bigs, to hopefully trade them. ahead of the deadline. I mean, Bagley's been playing okay, but of course then he gets hurt. Wiseman is what Wiseman is, and we've talked about that to death on this show. And despite all of that and all of the play, he still has a, you know, an ardent group of supporters saying that it's not his fault. It's true. The Pistons are not bad because of James Wiseman. The Pistons are not bad because of Isaiah Stewart. The Pistons are bad for a myriad of reasons. I guess it allows the centers to get some time. It allows some stew at the five ball, even though I have no desire to see that a whole lot more based on some of the shooting numbers that, again, we've talked about on this show. It's disappointing that Durin is going to be out for, I mean, it's going to be more than 2 weeks. He's not being reevaluated until another 2 weeks. So one would assume this will stretch well into January. You know, if he needs to get some sort of conditioning level met by the time he comes back to the court. It's disappointing because he is a fun, young, key player for this organization moving forward in another season where you're evaluating guys to see what's going to stick beyond this upcoming season. Pistons have a lot of expiring contracts. It's just disappointing. It's disappointing. Do you have anything else on Durin before we move on to some of the bigs that have replaced him / the rotations that Monty Williams is throwing out there?
Well, yeah, I think that this actually kind of goes into our next topic in terms of Monty Williams rotations and the bigs. If there is one, and I even hesitate to use this phrase, but one silver lining to both Durin and Marvin Bagley being out, it's that it has forced Monty Williams to abandon these two big lineups. And yes, you and I think are both in agreement. Isaiah Stewart as a starting center is less than ideal. However, going just one big and being able to play Stewart at the five instead of the four, I do think it is preferable to the alternative, which is what the Pistons have been rolling with throughout this season. I thought last night, especially, I know you looked at the highlights. I did watch the whole game. I thought especially in the first half, Cade Cunningham was able to find so much more space going to the rim and being able to finish just because the floor was spaced at least at all. And even though Stewart does not provide you with that pick and roll threat, and I think that that was a big reason why eventually the Pacers were able to kind of settle in a little bit defensively. We know that they are not a good defensive team. We know that like they are going to allow teams, even a team with an offense as inept as the Pistons, to score points against them. But I thought that really, you know, putting Ausar at the four, something that you and me and Aaron have been begging for since preseason, I thought that it looked pretty good, at least for the first half. In the second half, there was issues. And of course, also a big part of that was like Bojan Bogdanović just not playing very well last night on the offensive end of things. I thought that that was honestly more than anything else what really cost them any chance at winning that game was Bojan just not hitting open threes. It was kind of a killer for him. You look at that, they lost the game by eight. You know, he hits two of those open threes. We're talking about a very, very different looking fourth quarter, I think, for Detroit. So when I think about the Durin issue and the Bagley issue, excuse me, and more so what Detroit's rotations are looking like, if there is one silver lining, it's that now Monty Williams has to go a little bit smaller and has to try Ausar at the four offensively. And has to play Isaiah Stewart as a true center. So if there's one positive to it, that's it. Mike, I'm interested what you think in terms of the Pistons finally going small, and perhaps even more what Monty Williams' statements were at the end of that game in regards to spacing.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, it's nice of him to acknowledge that, in fact, you do need spacing in today's NBA to be successful. And that's not to say that the Pistons are good at doing that. They don't have the personnel to be a properly spaced team. But, you know, we talked about this in the preseason. If you're going to have Cade Cunningham and you're going to have Jaden Ivey and you're going to have Jalen Duren, you're going to need shooting. And Asar Thompson is not a shooter. He did hit a corner three yesterday. Looked pretty good. Jake Rogers in our group chat noted that it looked like his release point was higher. I, you know, did not compare that, but it's nice to see him hit the corner three. If he can do that, he can, you know, that's at least a weapon that spaces the offense out and it puts him within a role on the offense. Aside from being, you know, a high flyer, he's able to finish dunks, he's able to handle alley-oops, he's super athletic. We talked about Asar Thompson at the four going into the season, and I think you were the most ardent supporter of it, that it makes the most sense, even if you don't have the spacing necessarily. But as long as you have Bojan Bogdanović at the three, keeps the offense a little bit more spread out, so Cade does have room to operate. And you're right, it was noticeable in the first half. He wasn't getting clogged in the paint with four defenders running directly at him as soon as he got into the paint, forcing him to kick it out to a shooter that, you know, is not a knockdown guy. It was very noticeable. I am disappointed it took Monty Williams this long to get to that point. It makes me question how long he's been around the game of basketball. Because
it says here he was playing in the 90s. So,
well, certainly looks very 90s to see Isaiah Stewart post-ups and whatnot. That just makes me want to hit my head against my screen. It's encouraging that he recognizes the need for spacing. And again, he has not been exactly dealt the best hand from an injury perspective with Joe Harris and Bogdanović missing significant amounts of time. Isaiah Livers missed a significant amount of time. I mean, the jury's still out on Livers in terms of what he's going to be able to provide long-term, but there's no question that in a vacuum, he's one of your key wings and he's one of your key shooters. I guess I can fault him to an extent for other things like the double big thing, but he's kind of been forced into a corner with all of these injuries. And Cade has really suffered as a result of that. I mean, he still gets his, but man, even just watching Bogdanović come back against the Cavs, you could instantly see the offense looked like a modern offense. The Cavs had to spread out. They couldn't crowd the paint with their double bigs. It looked like it worked. And that's really what we've been just hoping for the last, you know, week or 2 weeks, really the whole season, to be honest. We've just been looking for reasons to see or think that this offense is able to work as constructed. And there's a lot of issues still, but turns out putting shooters in a lineup of a, you know, a heliocentric passer makes some sense. It leads to more opportunities on offense. And they missed a lot of open threes. Like you said, Bogdanović missed open threes. You know, that changes the game entirely. Especially down the stretch.
100%. And it was really noticeable in the fourth quarter. There was, I believe he had two really good looks that he needed to hit in order to get the Pistons into a position where they could win that game, and he just wasn't able to do it. You know, the Joe Harris thing, to me, that's a nothing. He was a healthy scratch last night, and I had no issue with it. I thought Isaiah Livers played okay. There's still too many defensive miscommunications, especially between him and Isaiah Stewart. But, you know, they gave up, I believe, three different backdoor cuts because they did not properly switch defensively. And that's killer as well. But one other thing in regards to Stewart playing the five is not just that it helps Cade Cunningham, I think, with spacing. I think it's also good for Asar Thompson. Asar scored 20 points last night on 10 shots. He was 8 of 10 from the floor. He was extremely effective offensively. And we talk about spacing as shooting, I think, too exclusively sometimes. And I'm guilty of it myself. But spacing is not just shooting. It's also, I mean, shoot, it's spacing. It's where the space is on the floor. And when Isaiah Stewart is playing the five, because he's not a big-time rim threat, he does hold out on the three-point line a lot. And what that does, especially when Cade has a little bit more room to operate inside and teams are going to double, triple team him in the post, you saw it last night, that opens up a lot for the Pistons cutters, especially Asar Thompson. And I believe he got three, maybe four easy open looks, dunks on cuts to the rim. So when the Pistons go away from that two big lineup, it doesn't just open up space for Cade to get to the rim. It also opens up space for Asar Thompson to cut to the rim. And you don't need him to be a super knockdown three-point shooter as long as teams have to put some sort of attention on Isaiah Stewart. And when they do triple team, that there is still space inside of the lane for Asar Thompson to cut to the rim. So I think, I mean, shoot, it, you know, on one hand, like I said, it's heartening to say, hear Monty Williams say, maybe we should have some spacing. It's a little disheartening that he's figuring that out 23 games into the season, but oh well, here we are. I think you're also seeing a little bit more from Cade recently. Look, Cade's last 10 games, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, steal and a half, and the important thing is 45.5% from field goal range, almost 40% from three. And that's even including last night when he went 1 of 6 from outside. So I think that increased efficiency kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been saying. The Pistons getting a little bit more healthy, finding a little bit more space on the interior. And now you're able to see Cade Cunningham, what he can do. Last night, 3 turnovers to what? 7 assists. That is just, that's what you need to see from him. Do you necessarily want him taking 21 shots? No. Would you like to see him to get to the free throw line more than 0 times? Absolutely. But the fact that he was able to find space inside, that he was able to find those easy dump offs, I think that speaks to what the Pistons need to be prioritizing right now. They need Asar Thompson on the floor for his cutting. They do still need Isaiah Stewart out there. Even though the Pacers really went at him defensively last night. I mean, it was noticeable. They really went after him and Asar. They were trying to get those switches onto Miles Turner and beat up Asar in the post, which was pretty effective, unfortunately. But you're seeing a little bit more of those signs of life that you need to have if you want to win a game. I mean, that's where we're at right now. But these are the sort of looks and the sort of actions and the sort of lineups that Monty Williams needs to be throwing out there. Obviously, it's not great. They are really struggling, especially in the clutch. You saw it in the back end of the first half and the back end of the second half. I mean, Mike, we're going to move on, but here's a crazy stat for you. The NBA, if you don't know, defines clutch time as the final 5 minutes of a game when the score is within 5 points. The Pistons have played 29 clutch minutes this season. In those 29 minutes, they have an offensive rating of 61 and a net rating of negative 55. Their effective field goal percentage, which is your threes and your twos put together,
right,
22.7%. The overall NBA league average this year, 54.1%. So their offense is completely cratering. You know, NBA offensive ratings this year are like, I believe the average one is like 115. So their offensive rating is basically like half as good as the average NBA offense in the final 5 minutes of close games. That's really what's killing them right now. And they need to find an answer for that, because I've seen, especially over the last couple games, we're going to leave out the loss to the Orlando Magic, but in the other times of those games, they've been able to compete. And if they can figure out an answer for that clutch, they might be able to start putting together a couple of wins coming up.
Well, that stat certainly checks out with the eye test, because watching fourth quarters and just watching meltdown after meltdown, it certainly seems, I mean, that is a horrendous effective field goal percentage. Horrendous. And, you know, you talked about, here's what you have to do to get a win. You just have to play your good players to get a win. I mean, Joe Harris was a healthy scratch yesterday, and there's no reason to believe that he's better than Isaiah Livers is right now. Livers certainly gives you a little bit more defensively and from a length perspective, but they got to just, I mean, he being Monty Williams, just has to play his good players. This weird Jaden Ivey back and forth, this Wiseman off the bench instead of Bagley that happened like for two games that we didn't know any reason why it happened. You just have to play your good players. And it's just hard to say he's putting them in good positions to succeed while on the court. I mean, we talked about Cade having zero spacing. We talked about Isaiah Stewart being asked to do far too much than what he's capable of, you know, as a stretch four. He's just not able to do that. Spacing is, you know, being a stretch four is much more than being able to make and take shots. It's, are people going to defend him? Which it's very clear that they're not. They're not moved by it at all. In that Cavs game, Evan Mobley did not even flinch when Isaiah Stewart went to take a corner three. He didn't even move. He immediately turned his back and went up for the rebound. It's just those little things. We talked a little bit about Stu at the five in the offseason as, you know, as being a viable option, and seeing it actually happen with the spacing around with, you know, with Bogdanović back and Cade Cunningham. It definitely looked more like he was figuring out, he being Monty again, was figuring out how to put these players in a better position to succeed. But his post-game comments leave me wondering, did he even want to coach at all, or did Tom Gores just throw so much money at him it was impossible to say no? Because some of those comments are eye-popping of like, huh, what exactly did you think was happening out there? Jasper, you have a conspiracy theory. We talked a little bit about it in the group chat. I think it has some legs to it. It's like reverse Moneyball, where Billy Beane was just getting rid of Carlos Peña, so he had to play Scott Hatterberg. This is like the reverse of that. Do you want to explain your Troy Weaver, Monty Williams dastardly plan?
Yeah, 100%, man. I love a good conspiracy theory, because this is where we're at in this season. Look, after the game, and look, you said, hey, did Monty Williams take it for the money? Shoot, he said at his introductory press conference he took the job for the money. You know, Monty Williams after the game, and he got a lot of flack for this because people went, what the heck is this guy talking about? He said, we're starting to figure out that we can score when we space the floor properly. I'm learning about these guys and talking about using Asar Thompson as a roller more often, which totally I'm super into. I think you should put good athletes in space with a full head of steam. I think that that's a good idea, especially when they're going to the rim. Those comments to me almost seemed like a shot at the front office and Troy Weaver. Look, we know Monty Williams was not Troy Weaver's guy. that was not the coach that Troy Weaver wanted. And while we can talk about Monty Williams' lineup decisions, the players he has to work with were not picked by him. They were picked by Troy Weaver. So when I see comments like that, one, there is, of course, the thought, does he know what the heck he's talking about? But two, is this a shot at Troy Weaver and saying, hey, look, you didn't give me players to space the floor with? You know, okay, you want to play, you wanted two big lineups. Here's all your two big lineups. Here's what our offense looks like with two bigs. Now I don't have any bigs to play. Let me show you what an offense looks like with one big and when there is space. And I think to me, there is, yeah, I would not be surprised whatsoever if Monty Williams looks at it and says, I'm not going anywhere. It doesn't matter if I throw 20 games this season. I'm not getting fired. But you know who might? The guy who put this roster together. So when I see those comments, I am not of the belief that Monty Williams does not know how to coach an NBA team. I am not of the belief that he doesn't understand what spacing is. I'm not so sure Troy Weaver understands what spacing is. I'm not so sure Troy Weaver understands how to put together a proper roster. So to me, I think that there is a very good chance that what Monty Williams has been doing is proving a point these last couple weeks, that he's been given a team that cannot run a competent offense with the roster that's been put together. Mike, how do you feel about my little my little front office intrigue, if you will?
You know, this team is just weird enough to where it's believable, to be honest. I don't know if we'll ever know exactly how the head coaching search went. I know when we were podcasting about it, we were all very confused as to what exactly Detroit was going to do. Kevin Ollie seemed like the front runner by far. And then all of a sudden it flipped. And there was this weird, you know, silent period of where nothing was happening. And then Monty Williams comes out with the, at the time, the richest contract in NBA coaching history. And there's reason to believe that Troy Weaver was not pleased with that. It's kind of strange how it all sort of came together, and Tom Gores is that kind of owner, just, you know, step in and make something happen, which oftentimes is the wrong choice, but, you know, it's just kind of what you get with him. I think it's got legs. I think there's a non-zero chance that that is exactly what's happening, is Monty Williams is just playing the players he has at his disposal and is kind of saying, hey, none of this fits. You handed me puzzle pieces from 8 different puzzles. I can't put a picture together. I can only kind of smash things together and just see what happens. And by going small like this, you know, the offense looked a whole lot better. The defense, like you said, it was kind of punished a bit on switches. Miles Turner had a pretty big game, but, you know, overall, I think this conspiracy theory has some roots to it, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was some truth to it.
And Mike, what were, outside of Asar Thompson, Troy Weaver's two big offseason acquisitions? Joe Harris and Marcus Sasser. The only two players who were healthy scratches for the Pistons last night.
Yep. That's a good point.
Just saying.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean? I think that there is absolutely... Again, I'm not saying this is true. I don't have sources. But if you're looking at it from that perspective, him making the only two healthy scratches, the guys that Troy Weaver went out and got this offseason in order to, quote, unquote, space the floor, I think that there is something to that.
Yep, I think there is something to it, too. I mean, Joe Harris was the offseason acquisition to use up all of the cap space, so... That was like the prized possession, whatever that's worth. Jasper, do you have any thoughts, you know, before we close out this edition of the podcast? We're making it a little bit of a quick hitter. You know, I think we got to all of our topics and got to them pretty succinctly. You know, are we going to be looking at this time next week? Are we going to be looking at a Pistons team that actually has a new win?
Well, no, because they face the Bucks and the 76ers twice. And I don't know. When do they play the Hawks? That's Monday the 18th. You know? They might. Thursday is the game against the Jazz. So chances are the next time we're recording, it'll be right before that Jazz game. Mike, I pray to you that we are not going into that Jazz game with our good friends at Bet Online, sweating out the line there. I really hope we're not, but it's going to be tough. My guess is no. We're still going to be talking about a losing streak. But hopefully in 2 weeks, they will have a win. Because if not, then congratulations to your record-setting Detroit Pistons.
Record-setting. You know, we always set out to break records. We just didn't really think that it would end up like this.
I heard Aaron Johnson set a record at Tin Roof, but that's
oh, he did. Hall of Fame numbers.
at least somebody involved with this organization is getting a win.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, we'll have to have Aaron, you know, explain himself, but it was a good time. And you know what else was a good time? This podcast was a good time. And with that being said, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. I'd like to thank my co-host, Jasper Apollonia, for joining me. And I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week, and that is Bet Online. Again, you could use our promo code BELIEVED, 50% off your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use Bet Online. For Jasper Apollonia, I'm Mike Angulano. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network, and we will see you all next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.